Coming up in episode 65.
I worked in the mayor's office for the fourth largest city in the world, in the country. Fourth largest city in the country, the energy capital pretty much of the world.
Yeah.
It was not news to us that Houston is a first strike target.
Right.
A lot of people in Houston did not understand that on that day, that if attacks were going to continue, that stretch on 225 was going to be one of the first things to be hit, because that would cripple America's ability to recover.
Welcome to another episode of The Little Radio Show. My name is Sandra Fernandez, and I'm joined by my co-hosts Juan Alaniz and Angelica Casares, and we're bringing you small talk about big topics. This week, Juan talks about a recent visit to the 9/11 Memorial in New York, and we each discuss how this attack affected us individually. We also talk about Anthony Bourdain's recent Parts Unknown episode about Houston. We share what we liked, what we disliked, and what we think was missing. As an unexpected extra, we're sharing a brief outtake from an episode we did earlier this year, in which, somehow, we discuss Kim Kardashian versus Marilyn Monroe. You have to listen to understand how that happened. Just a reminder that you can catch us every week on Thursdays at 2 p.m. Central Time on hmsnetradio.org. Our show archives and the link to our iTunes and Stitcher channel are available at thelittleradioshow.com.
The Little Radio Show is brought to you in partnership with JuanOfWords.com and HispanicHouston.com.
So on this episode of the Little Radio Show, and I know we're starting out laughing already, but
I know it's never a dull moment around us. Never a dull moment.
So the thing that you can't see, or actually that you are going to see at some point, is that we have started rigging our phones on these little bitty tripods around the studio to try and get some video of us talking. And apparently, as we're doing the countdown to go 3, 2, 1 to start, something starts beeping.
And it's my phone. And it's my phone because I decided that I'm going to go live. As they're recording, I'm going live. So.
And of course, it's Angelica's phone. But
yes.
Yeah, it is.
Welcome to another episode of The Little Radio Show. And I want to start out the show by talking about something that I did while I was out of town on a recent trip. And I went to New York, and I was there for a couple of days. And I went and I visited the 9/11 Memorial, which is something I hadn't done since, 9/11 happened, because I felt like it was too soon for to go there. Even though I wasn't in New York, I really don't know anybody who was affected personally.
You thought it was too soon for you to go and visit the memorial?
I thought it was too soon for me to go, but it was too fresh in my memory for me to go and actually just be in that environment, because I anticipated that it was going to be probably very, very emotional, and that it was going to be a lot to take in. And that really was the case when I went in there, and when I just saw the people, first of all, I got there early, and I just was by coincidence that I got in, because they had said that the tickets were sold out. I thought they were selling them online and that they were sold out, but I was like, let me just go walk over there and I'll check out the memorial and see how it looks. So I did that, and it just so happened that the morning that I showed up, they still had tickets, and so they let me buy a ticket, and I was actually one of the first people that was in the line. And then shortly after, by the time it opened, there was a line full of people that were behind me. And I went in, and I was I had to be at the airport by a certain time, so I just kind of ran through the whole thing just to kind of look at it. And I did stop and read some of the things, but it was really intense. And
what was that, being there for you, or it was intense that there was a lot of people?
No, it was intense, the experience of being in there. And I think I was okay, because you see, what they had, the artifacts that they have in there are very, they have pieces of the building that
sounds
were
so
in there.
Eerie to hear you call them artifacts.
Yeah, the pieces.
Well, it's been, how many years has it been at this point?
It's not 2011, so it's been, 2017 we're going into? So what, that's
almost 15 years now? We're going to 15 years? It's
2001.
Mm-hmm. 2001, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it'll be what?
It's 15
it's
years.
It's over 15 years.
Yes.
So, in all that time, that's passed. And, it just to see first of all, to see the number of people that were outside in the line was kind of impressive, that even, this many years later, people are still coming in droves to visit.
My question is, do you remember where you were at when 9/11 happened?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember. I was driving to work. I was on the freeway. I was on the connection in Southwest. And if you live in Houston, yeah. I was on the connection of 59 going through the Beltway in Southwest Houston. And I was listening to the radio, and all of a sudden I heard this on the radio, And I looked to the side.
What do you remember? I mean, you said you heard it. What did you hear?
Well, I heard on the radio that they were saying that the building, that the World Trade Center had been attacked, that there was a plane that had gone through it. And then I looked over. I remember, like, it was, like, really kind of eerie, or an eerie feeling that morning. And I looked over. I was looking over at other passengers, and everybody kind of had the same face on them. They were just kind of, like, blank, you know, like shocked.
I want to tell you mine because I want to hear yours, Sandra. I want to know where you were at. But me, I remember I was at I think I was still in high school, and I think I had like not gone to school.
I feel so old.
I think I had not gone to school that day, or I decided I needed to come back home. They are an hour ahead of us. So I remember it was really early in the morning, about 10 o'clock for us. And I remember that it happened, and stuff was on the news, and it was a big deal because it was one of the biggest buildings in New York. And it, at that time, it was like
Twin Towers were iconic.
Yes, mm-hmm. They
to
were.
A lot of people. And actually, and so, there was a movie that came out later that year, mm-hmm. I think it was Spider-Man, and there was a commercial that had been done
that had the Twin
Towers. They had to pull it.
They had to take it out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yes. I remember that.
Okay, so I remember that it was a big deal, and they were doing news coverage on it because it was on fire, right? That a plane had hit it. So that was big news at the moment. And then it just unraveled in front of everyone, right? So they figured out that it was a plane that had hit it, and they were calling it, and they were guesstimating that it might be a terrorist attack, but they didn't know. And I remember people were like, oh, wow, like, you know, it's a plane that hit it. And then all of a sudden, live, the second plane hit, and everybody freaked
but that's where
out. I remember I ran out of my house, mm-hmm. and I went down the street to a friend's house. I'm like, are you watching this? And they're like, oh my God. And I remember looking at people on the streets and they're going to the store. Like, I remember at that moment I was like, I need something to drink, like I need to get away from the TV for a second. And I remember walking away, and I remember I seen a lady in a stroller, and she was like, people started pulling kids from their school that was at the school. We started pulling kids, or my friend's kids, from the school, and we went, and there was a lady in the stroller, and she had her son or something, and she was like, she was freaking out, because it was confusion. I mean, not only can you imagine being in New York at that moment, but because it was confusion even down here to Houston. So people, she was saying that her husband was at work in one of the buildings,
but and
it was
like world, freaking was out, confusion.
And
all
she
over
was
the world,
freaking out
was
that she wanted her husband home. And I remember that frantic feeling. I wasn't old enough, you know, to grasp what was taking place.
Well, I think a lot of people didn't realize how big of an impact it was going to be immediately, because it just happened so fast. But I remember, like, I drove in to work, and when I had a little TV, like, you know, one of those little portable TVs,
yeah.
that you could have at your desk, and I had one of those in my desk, and so I turned it on, and everybody around me, I worked in like a cubicle farm, so everybody around my cubicle farm like was around my desk, and we were all watching my little media TV. And
it was a TV. I thought it was a radio.
Yeah, and we were like watching it, and like we watched when the second building, like where the plane went into the second building, and it was just, I remember that feeling. It was just kind of like, whoa, like
there was a sinking feeling.
It felt unreal. Like yeah. It just felt unreal. And
I worked at the mayor's office.
Oh wow,
that was my first year at the mayor's office. I'd been, actually, it was at the end of my first year at the mayor's office. 9/11, I'd worked, I started at the mayor's office a year prior to that, also in September. I'd been working there for about a year. I walked into the office right as the news about the first crash came on, and all of us had, you know, and you have to understand, this is 15 years ago, back when it was the big TVs, we all had the TVs in our offices.
Oh, wow.
Because part of our job was to monitor the news. So I had a TV in my office, and they're like, oh, there was a plane crashed into one of the Twin Towers, into the World Trade Center in New York. We all had our TVs on. So we all literally almost immediately heard about the second crash in the mayor's office. Second crash, we understood immediately what it meant. It was attack. It mm-hmm. was not an accident. This was an attack. One of the first things that happened was the mayor was taken off to a secure location. I worked in the mayor's office for the fourth largest city in the country, the energy capital pretty much of the world.
Yeah.
It was not news to us that Houston is a first strike target.
Right.
A lot of people in Houston did not understand that on that day, that if attacks were going to continue, that stretch on 225 was going to be one of the first things to be hit, because that would cripple America's ability to recover.
And I think that was a big thing that that immediately after, like, there was a lot of, like, paranoia because a lot of people were expected that, you know, where are they going to hit next? You know, they had hit several places and it was like, where are they going to hit next? Is it going to come to Houston? And I think because we're, like what you said, we're the fourth largest city, it was kind of like, what's going to happen? Are they going to come and, you know, bomb the port of Houston or something? It was just, it was like, it was a little nerve wracking.
It was a lot of tension. And even I was surrounded by neighborhood people and a few friends basically, and we just stared at that TV in awe. And I remember the days after, nobody was flying, and I'm gonna be really honest, I was very ignorant in that I've never heard of the Twin Towers. I never seen the Twin Towers, and I was all informed within those first like 5 minutes of watching the news coverage. They were telling me what it was, where it was located, why it meant a lot, why they were covering it, and if it was a terrorist attack, why it was a big deal.
But you know what? I think the thing that really stuck to me, or stuck with me, and that really made me kind of take it so personal. I mean, not only because this is the country that I grew up in, and this is the country that my parents, you know, made a life for us in, but you know what really stuck to me was the when you heard those thumps on the ground.
Yeah.
And to me, that just stuck with me. And I couldn't get that out of my head.
I don't remember watching that.
I must have blocked it out. I watched everything. And
day. And I'm going to tell you stuff about things about that day other than like the attack. The attack itself was horrendous, of course. One is that because of the way that we now cover, that was the first incident where literally people were informed as it was happening. There's like, I have friends who like her husband, who are psychologists, and they were talking about how the entire country basically had symptoms of PTSD afterwards because we all suffered this tragedy together. Mm-hmm. In the US, it's so new to us. It's not like, There are many countries that get terrorist attacks on a regular basis. England, for example. France. Yeah. A lot of these countries. Yeah. The U.S., we just don't.
Yeah, so it was a big deal. And I'm going live on Facebook right now. And people are reminding me from New York, a friend of mine, I can't imagine being there. I know they called it, you know, ground zero.
Yes.
But it must have been ground zero for New York entirely.
Oh, absolutely.
I remember watching documentaries of people like just,
I mean, looking dumbfounded. When you walk into the memorial, you know, now, and you like you see the space, how large it was, it was. It's just, you look at it and it's so impactful because it was such a large area, and even now you still see how big it is. But I told you, like, for me, when I went into the memorial and I went to the actual museum, like I was reading what was, you know, some of the exhibits, I was reading some of the artifacts, but what really got me is there's a room where you go in and, you know, it's the pictures of everybody, like all the victims, they're all on the wall.
Yeah.
And then like it's their names. And then in the, there's like audio playing of their friends and family saying things about them.
Yeah.
And I mean, that really just, that got me. I was like, okay, I gotta get out of here because I'm gonna lose it.
Yeah, I can imagine. So as a communications professional, things about that day, that was the very first incident where it became obvious that the internet was the place to go for information. My bosses were all, because I was giving them information about X, Y, and Z and the latest numbers are, and they'd be like, what? That's not what they sent the last report. I'm like, well, they just updated this website with new information. And the other thing was, that was the first incident where it became obvious that there was no citywide emergency communications model in the U.S. FEMA came out with the Joint Information Center and the NIMS protocols several years afterwards, because New York, it wasn't just a matter of New York was attacked, but communications coming out of the city came down. There was no structure, no unified structure to deal with how to deal with any of this stuff. And as someone who's worked in, anyone who's worked out in the public sector, all of us go through FEMA training on how to do this Joint Information Center. In Houston, they activate it whenever there's a citywide event.
Emergency Management Center.
But it determines who is in charge and who is going to do, and it's almost like a military operation. They treat communications like that, and it's improved things a lot.
Yeah.
The other thing that came out of that was regular landlines came down, text messaging continued to work.
That was the biggest thing. Yes, and communication.
That was one of the things that a lot of us learned. And in fact, I kept telling my family when Houston evacuated for Hurricane Rita, and none of the phones were going through, I reminded everyone, because it was just a few years after, you know, not so long since 9/11. It's like, okay, text messaging is on another system. Text messaging will continue if voice messages don't go through.
Well, from the hurricane, that's what happened to us, is that from when we were experiencing some hurricanes, is the text messaging was one of the biggest things that was like, that's that we understood then, that if you wanted to not call anybody, but send text messages, because they eventually will get them, right?
Yes.
Your phone call might not go through. But I'm here live on Facebook, and I'm just going to read a couple of comments that our friend Elaine Carter Campos, and Eileen, a couple of things she said, because it's notable for us to mention her because she lives in New York.
Yeah.
She said, and I'm sorry if this is going to sound a little grim to some, but she said, it smelled like death. I can't take myself to go there because I lost very close college friends. People are suffering health complications now and have died because of helping down in Ground Zero.
And you know that,
I mean, 15 years later, it's still so prevalent.
And that's so true, because part of the exhibit is a photographer who was on Ground Zero, who spent a lot of time taking pictures of Ground Zero, and his pictures were the first ones that were available afterwards. And that person actually died of cancer already. So, you know,
from the firefighters,
the New York Fire Department,
they literally, there was a widow's fund that was just for the firefighters who died the day of, or who died as a result of injuries and complications after that day. I mean, it was something that was like the impact of it continues. Now, I have not visited the museum, but I did go visit a few years ago when it was under construction, and even then it was impressive. And New York is still one of the epicenter cities in the world. It's considered to be, you know, a lot of people think New York is the capital of the U.S. Yeah. in other countries.
It would be. It would be. You know,
a lot of people consider think that New York is the capital of the U.S. But the amount of international, like the tourists that were there, very respectful, and they were paying homage to the site, was amazing.
But you know what? I've gone to New York a few times, and before this, and I would think about, like, maybe I'll go, or I heard people talk about the memorial, and I just didn't feel like, you know, I was like, I don't know whether I should go.
You knew you were gonna get choked up.
Yeah.
You knew you were gonna get emotional.
And the thing is, like, the other thing that I did take some pictures, like, of the memorial, but I couldn't bring myself to post them because I felt like they were too...
It felt intrusive?
Yeah, it felt intrusive, and it felt like too, like, I don't know. Like, it was just like, I don't want to show like a selfie of myself in such a like somber place. So it just like, I didn't take any selfies of myself, but I did take pictures of like the memorial itself outside, but I never posted them because I was like, I don't know. I feel like it's people's names on there, and like, I don't know. I don't want to post that. Like, I feel like, at the same time, I do feel kind of like, I did post one picture because, like, well, you know what? It's keeping that memory alive.
Yeah.
It's keeping, you know, their name out there, or like what happened out there, so that we don't forget. Because, you know, every 9/11 you hear that, like, never forget, never forget. And, you know, if, you know, you kind of just hear it as an expression, but you don't really think about it. Like, yeah, it is like something that you shouldn't forget, because it's something that's very important.
We've got an entire generation of kids who are too young to have lived through it in real time. I mean, think about, like, my niece is 20. She would have been, what, 5 when this happened? 4 maybe? So maybe she knows about it, but did she really experience it with the rest of us?
Right. That's true. And then the thing is, there's so many like documentaries and movies now about it that, you know, and then there's so many conspiracy theories and all these other things that are out there about it.
I know, which kind of makes me...
But we're so desensitized now. I mean, I'm wondering, like, if a major attack happened in the U.S. today, would we have the same kind of reaction?
Yes.
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 Yeah.
I mean, but look at the things that have happened. Like, remember when there was in Paris where the bus, it was like buses, right? I think that were like running over people.
It was like, it was a truck. It was a truck that...
But it was in this news cycle for how long? And then it like stopped being a story.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that it happened in France. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was in Paris.
I don't remember.
It was in France. And... they must be still talking about it.
Yeah.
We, you know, it didn't happen on our soil, so to speak. So it's different for them.
Let me ask a more relevant question. Okay. If this had happened in Houston versus in New York, would it have been as impactful? Because I'm not diminishing how much... I think
that's a good question.
How much... what was the hurricane that hit the New York area?
Katrina?
Remember? No.
No, I don't remember York. The name of it.
Oh. It was a few years ago, and it was...
Very few years ago, actually.
Maybe... it was a year that Lantism came to Houston.
But you know what? Yeah because 4 years ago. One of our friends, Ruby, was stuck here for a couple of days.
So, a hurricane hit the New York in that area, and it was a... big hurricane. I'm never going to diminish that it was a big hurricane, but literally within days there was a telethon. You know, it was there was all this stuff. There was all, because so many media companies are
based
over there, they got so much more attention. Do you know how long it took before people started arriving in New Orleans that was devastated by Katrina? Thank you very much.
But even real more recently, with the flooding that happened in the Houston and surrounding areas, which was pretty bad. It was pretty devastating.
Billions upon billions.
And not even only Houston. It was also Texas.
Yes.
But, you know, and then there was another flood that happened. I think it was in Louisiana.
Yes.
And they got so much media play and so much attention. And it was like, you know, it was the same thing. Like, I don't understand. I didn't understand why the Houston stuff didn't get any attention. And it wasn't a national story other than a mention like, oh, it's flooding in Houston today.
You know why the Louisiana one got attention?
Because they've had Katrina and they've had.
Well, no, not just that. It's because they had to close down portions of I-10, which impacted
and travel.
Travel and commerce.
Yeah, it did. But I think in terms for us, for Houston, the only time it really gets anything is if it doesn't directly impact. For a lot of people, I remember my cousin called me. She was like, hey, are y'all okay? I was like, yeah, why? She was like, you guys aren't like floating in boats down there right now, right? And I'm like, she's in Laredo. And I'm like, no. I was like, why? She was like, because that's what they're covering on the news. I was like, no, we're actually okay.
But I guess changing gears a little bit. And now I'm like, my... You made me think about this, but I think there was a recent episode, and I think we all watched it with Anthony Bourdain, where he did an episode on Houston and kind of the misconceptions about Houston. Do you think that kind of has anything to do with it? Like the fact that people still think Houston is, he said, cowboys riding around.
I think here in Houston, I think why people stay and people, you don't know what you get into until you're here for a while. Houston takes care of itself.
Yeah.
We very much are like, we take care of, I hate, you know, it sounds very, you know, I don't know how to say it, but I kind of pat back on a Houston. We take care of our own.
But there is a national and international, there's a kind of an idea of what Houston is like, and everybody still thinks that we're like this podunk little backwater, you know, that you know, people go around and pick up trucks
I'm gonna insert something here.
Although I will say that when I came to Houston and ordered an Uber, that was the one place that they showed up with a pickup truck.
But the pickup trucks in Houston have never seen a ranch.
So you said podunk, right? Yeah. It turns out that we actually live, my neighborhood where we live, we used to be called Podunk, Texas. I'd mention that.
No, but yeah, Houston is one of those places where people come here and they either love it or they hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just defies description for a lot of people.
Does.
I've known people who've been here for years and years and they detest it. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. I adore Houston. But you know, it's one of those things where you're never going to see, like, Houston's not trendy.
But you know, I think what it is too is that Houston is so big and has so much that people don't really know what Houston has, because I think a lot of people are like, oh, well, Houston doesn't have anywhere to walk, or Houston doesn't have any like outdoor spaces.
And, which is half true.
And the truth is, like, we have tons of them, like Buffalo Bayou. Yeah. Like, there's so much out there, but it's so big and it's so spread out that people aren't like going to it because it's not around the corner.
I think one of the people miss about Houston is you can go as fast. You can have a fast-paced life as much as you want, or a slow-paced life. Like, it's really, really up to you and how you dictate your life in Houston.
I'm very much into the slow-paced life right now. I used to have the fast-paced life.
Right? Yes. So, but it's all up to you and how you gauge it. But
it gives you options.
But, you know, going back to the show, the CNN Parts Unknown. What's it called?
Parts Unknown with Anthony Bourdain.
So the first thing that I noted, and, you know, I don't watch the show, so I don't really know if this is what he intended. But I'm like, okay, there's not a single white person that entire show, you know, except for him, and maybe one of the spouses of the people. And I was looking at this going, okay, you know, no offense, he's one of the things that makes Houston great, and they talked a little bit about the fusion, but the reality is that there's a lot of fusion culture in Houston. Mm-hmm. But you know, we are barbecue. We take our barbecue seriously. Mm-hmm. Here. And I live out in Pearland, and Ronnie Killen. He has, it's considered to be some of the best barbecue in the country. This guy is a Cordon Bleu trained chef who was once considered to be chef at the White House. Like, he was put in the final to be considered for that. There's that kind of stuff that didn't, but it was 60 minutes.
I know.
How do you encapsulate everything that Houston is in 60 minutes?
I think that's what I walked away with that afterwards. I was like, you know what? I think the point of this is that Houston is too large to be captured, to be put in one 60-minute show, you know, and not even a 60-minute show because you still got commercial breaks.
We could have done 60 minutes on Latino culture alone.
I know.
One of the most popular episodes we've done, and it gets played a lot, is the food episode. Mm-hmm. It's like a third or first episode or something like that. And it was just talking about the different types of Latino food in Houston. We could do an entire 60-minute show on nothing but Latino food in Houston and go from the pupusas to the, you know, to the Colombian food, to the fact that it's a birthplace of fajitas as we know it.
Or the new place that you discovered, which is what, the Venezuelan?
The Venezuelan Mediterranean place is called Gusto Gourmet, and I'm going to tell you,
we still need to go there.
Oh my God, I am so going back.
How do we get to food as usual?
We always get to food.
That's so funny, but Anthony Bourdain did an awesome job in covering what Houston embodies, which is a lot of backstops that people don't know about. You think you know us, but you have no idea.
And I like the fact that they close out with Chingo Bling's song.
And since we personally know Chingo Bling, we especially like that.
I was like, good for Chingo Bling.
We'll be posting links to information about the 9/11 memorial in New York, as well as, if we can find it, to any archived content online, the Parts Unknown episode that covered Houston. Just a reminder, you can catch new episodes of The Little Radio Show on hmsnetradio.org every Thursday at 2 p.m. Central Time. The next segment is a short outtake from an episode earlier this year in which somehow we end up discussing and comparing Kim Kardashian to Marilyn Monroe. Let us know what you think. You know, the thing that everyone has to remember about Kim Kardashian is she is the product. That's it.
Mm-hmm. She's a brand. She's a product. She's it all.
Yeah. It's not like she sings. It's not like
she doesn't breathe herself. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like she paints. It's not like she writes. It's not like she does anything else.
There's no real talent. Is that what you're saying?
I wasn't going to say that. Her talent is in generating controversy. The more people who say her name, and I'm sorry, people out there that were helping on this, the more she makes in endorsements and other stuff. This is how she makes her living.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it wasn't Kim Kardashian, it'd be somebody else. It'd be, you know, so it's always going to be, there's always going to be somebody there.
There's always going to be a Kim Kardashian. The talk of the town. I think from now on, this is the way they will be dubbed. She's a Kim Kardashian forever. Marilyn Monroe.
But Marilyn Monroe was a different.
It was an actress. Have you ever seen one of her movies?
I don't think you can put them together.
In her time, she wasn't considered a very good actress. The only reason they put her in movies was because she needed to get in front of the eye. Like people, this is not me talking.
But
this is
was
actual
Dolly Parton, and
like
Dolly Parton
conversations.
Is now like a kind of a living
Dolly
legend.
Parton can sing, but I'm talking about she is like the what was John F. Kennedy's time Marilyn Monroe. This is Kim Kardashian. Like this is
I don't agree with you.
Yeah,
you don't agree with that either. She's gonna
Marilyn
be a
Monroe
comic.
Was an actress, and she started out. And if you've ever seen any of her movies, she was a good actress.
That's like when people
read. Because I seen a movie, right? And what happens when I watch a movie is I start like I pause it and I start Googling stuff, and I just came across these articles that they really didn't think she had that much. She was seen. I think she was a model. I think she started off as a model somewhere.
But I think that comparison is like saying that like Gloria Trevi is the Mexican Madonna, when in fact I don't really think that she is. You know, I think Gloria Trevi is Gloria Trevi.
Yeah.
Madonna's Madonna. And so I think making comparisons like that, I don't know. Like,
but I see where you're coming from, though. But you're talking about the amount of controversy that surrounds her. Yes.
So this is basically it. So she's I'm not going to say she's another Marilyn Monroe.
Lived a very scandalous life.
Yeah. So, but she's Kim Kardashian like this.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Little Radio Show. We invite you to check out our iTunes and our Stitcher channels and leave us a rating or a review. You can find the link to both channels at thelittleradioshow.com.